Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I met him on Saturday.
No way.
Moderate fan of the show.
You met the moderate fan of the show?
Yes. So I he's a really nice guy. I met the Hy-Vee at 87th Street in Lenexa, and I was doing the Alex Lemonade Stand with my neighbors from across the street, the Meads. And I was there at noon, okay? And right before I get there, well, right before my shift starts, guy walks up to me, and he's got two pictures of Dana and Parks, and he comes up to me, and he says, would you mind signing these? And I said, yeah, no problem, of course, yeah, happy to do it. He goes, by the way, I'm a moderate fan of the show.
Moderate fan of the show, call a couple times.
It was him. Very nice guy, very tall. Very tall guy. And he and his wife were there, and we took pictures, and I signed a couple of autographs for him. And
moderate fan of the show is a tall man.
He was very kind.
Moderate fan okay. of the show. Call it a time.
Okay. Yeah.
We had a blast over the weekend. Went to the Missouri Broadcast Awards.
I'm sorry to hear that.
This year, it was in the Ozarks.
It's always in the Ozarks.
You know, my husband is involved in a lot of these broadcasting committees, and he's on several boards, and he was asked to be the MC for the Missouri Broadcast Association Awards. And we're sitting right in front, man. We are in the front table. And I just want to let everyone know, I did not know this before I went down to the Ozarks. On Friday night, they inducted Bob Costas into the Missouri Lifetime Hall of Fame.
Was he there?
He was there Friday night. We were not, because I had the show, and then we got on the road, so we didn't arrive till, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
How'd that go?
It was just, I heard by all accounts that Bob Costas was lovely, hilarious.
Oh, sure.
I did not know
I'm
he
sure.
went from Syracuse to St. Louis and really got his start in St. Louis. And he flew back for that, Scott.
I'll be darned.
Flew back for it and could not have been more gracious, they said.
How was your trip out to the Ozarks? I saw that you golfed a lot,
is
great.
We did golf, and Chris will tell you I don't like that drive. I've only done it once alone. I will never do that again. You know, once you start getting into the Ozarks, it's just very windy and pitch black dark.
Oh, yeah, it's country mountain
roads.
It is
pitch black dark, and we saw 30 dead deer on the road and 100 live deer because their eyes are reflecting back.
This is your funny video for you and the girls.
Oh, God. We stayed at a resort.
I had a nervous breakdown on my way to the Ozarks yesterday because you were gone and I had a long day. And then we got in the car and we drove to the Ozarks and we almost died 26 times on the road in the dark because there were deer that kept jumping out in front of our car. And then Chris took the luggage in, and I parked, but there wasn't any place to park at this huge resort, and so I went inside, and I was very, like I was having a panic attack, and the man said, I will help you park. He showed me this map.
I'm going to stop it right there.
There's actually two sides.
Okay.
The map is the size of a Denny's
menu,
yeah. But larger. and has 46,000 notations on the map, just so you know.
We've all been to the Ozarks. Hang on. Let me see if I can start it back up.
Okay. And again, I'm having a panic attack, and I just needed to sleep and probably have like 3 glasses of wine.
The guy pulls out this map, and he's got a Sharpie marker. God bless him. And it's one of those, he's like, so you are here, and he draws an X. He goes, if you go all the way around here,
yeah,
and it's pitch dark outside, and I'm alone. And he goes, there's a little gate. I don't, maybe you don't go that way. Maybe you go this way. You're going to see this glass door. And if you go into the glass door, there's a parking area above there. But if that doesn't work, you're going to come around here and take a sharp right turn. And then he draws another X. I look it up. I just start crying. I just started crying in the lobby of the Margaritaville. And I go, I don't know how to read a map. I go, please don't make me do a map. First of all, the map is the size of like the old atlas our parents had.
Right.
Second of all, I don't know where I am. It's dark. I'm exhausted. I'm on my every last pin and needle because of those winding roads. And then he wants me to figure out how to go park in the dark by myself. And I go, please, can you just park my car?
What's up, Ketzer?
Well, first of all, we did not almost die on the way to the Ozarks. Okay. Let's just get that out on the record, first of all. We were 20 deer, 100, whatever number that she cited, no deer darted out in front of us. We might have seen 6 on the side of the road.
That were thinking safely about jumping.
Say, you can't read their minds, honey, all right?
They
you
can't,
don't know
they
that.
Can't either.
They can't either.
But they're dumb. Never,
that it was a safe drive. We took her car and had plenty of, we made sure that we managed the power successfully.
Scott, at one point, I just go, there's a deer. There's a deer. There's another deer. There's another deer. There's another deer.
There were deer, Scott. There were deer when there were no deer, you know?
Were there deer or not?
No, there weren't. Okay. As I say, we might have seen 5, maybe 6 tops way off on the side of the road. Not once did a deer dart out in front of us, as she earlier, moments ago, led your audience to believe.
Okay. Did she or did she not have a panic attack at the hotel?
That is correct. I can confirm that. Yes. Okay. Yes. Right.
Would you at least confirm the size of the map and the hilarity of someone trying to give Dana a map under any circumstance?
Happy to confirm all of that. Yes. But you have a I love you, honey, but you have a tendency to take editorial liberties with the truth. Tell me I'm wrong.
Were there not 67 X's and O's in Sharpie marker on that map trying to tell Dana, who cannot read a map, where to park?
There weren't 67. There were 3.
And you hosted on Saturday night?
I was the co-MC of the Missouri Broadcasters Association annual event, and was proud to be there, and it was a great weekend. It really was.
Good
it was
you,
a
man.
Terrific weekend. Yeah.
Good. So. All right. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for sharing the truth.
Your foggy version of events.
No, there's nothing foggy about my version of events. I don't know. All right. Is it?
You got some golf in over the weekend?
We did. We had a great weekend.
We did have a good weekend.
Yeah. Good.
Phenomenal.
Once we arrived safely.
I love you, brother.
Love you.
I love you.
We had a great weekend. It was the arriving. Dana does not like arriving at the Ozarks at night.
So we had 6 deer and 3 X's.
You can see their eyes. Their beady eyes looking at you.
Mm-hmm. Just waiting to jump out.
We're going
to
die. We're going to die. There's a deer. There's a deer. I mean, I was white knuckling it. And Chris was,
you were driving?
No, Chris was driving. Oh. I was white-knuckling into the passenger seat, and guess what we were listening to
the
entire way?
What were you white-knuckling on if you weren't driving?
The side of my new car. I was like, I don't like that drive.
White-knuckling is usually the driver.
Well, I was hanging on to anything I could.
I see.
And the entire time, we are listening to a Dateline podcast by Keith Morrison.
I love Keith Morrison.
Oh, my gosh, that voice. I could listen.
He has the greatest
read
voice.
A phone book. At one point, Scott, it's a murder, of course.
Of course.
And he goes, and the man had the pasty white look of death.
And the man had the pasty white look of death.
You know he's Canadian?
I didn't know that.
Keith Morrison.
I love his voice.
For everyone saying in your car right now, who is Keith Morrison? First of all, you know exactly who he is because when you hear that voice, you're like, oh, that's the Dateline voice.
Yeah.
He also is now on the Calm app. Speaking of anxiety, he will read you.
Did you not take your medicine to the Ozarks?
I did. I took all of it to the Ozarks. He will read you on the Calm app, Keith Morrison, a story. The Calm app listeners had been demanding it for years because he's just got that voice.
It'll put you to sleep.
Was it his wife or something else? Let me just play 1 second of Keith Morrison because you know, okay?
This is a story to tell around the fire. As the embers glow from orange into red, and a few licks of lazy flame still warm the dark.
Night-night.
His writing is so good. But one of the lines, I swear to you, in this seduction episode of Dateline was, the man had the pasty white look of death. Did he just say the man had a pasty white look of death? And I go, yes.
Yes, he
it
did.
It was very descriptive.
Because he's Keith Morrison. And he can say whatever he
wants. Exactly what he was talking about when he said it.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So if you've heard this afternoon, there is an Amber Alert out of Topeka. This is from KSNT. Police are looking for four children missing from the Topeka area in an Amber Alert. The Amber Alert is active for four missing children, according to Topeka police, at 10:34 this morning. Police say Ava Riley, Davian Riley, Tyrell Riley, and Anila Riley were taken by their mother. Statements to the father of the children from the mother indicate the children are in imminent danger. The Topeka Police Department says they left in an unknown direction in a silver 2009 GMC Acadia with a Kansas temporary license plate. Wow.
I'm always curious in these cases, do they think she's heading this way? Do they think she's heading to Iowa? Does she have family somewhere in the nearby region? When there's an Amber Alert out of St. Louis, we will wait, you know, 2.5 hours to let our listeners know, sometimes 2 hours, to really hammer home that this is an Amber Alert because it takes so long to get from St. Louis to Kansas City. In this case, they are looking for all four plus the mother. That should be easy to spot with all of the information we've given you. And Amber Alert issued really quickly in this case out of Topeka, which, as you know, she could be in the Kansas City area now.
Right now, yeah. Here's what always bothers me about the Amber Alert. Why do they think the children are in imminent danger?
Because she made statements to the father indicating such. And for the highway patrol to so quickly and immediately issue an Amber Alert saying the children are in imminent danger, you can only imagine the statements that she made that led to this point.
Okay. So what you're looking for is a silver 2009 GMC Acadia.
It's a mini SUV.
Right. It has a temporary Kansas tag. The woman, the mom in this case, her last name is Thomas, is 5'1", weighs about 110 pounds.
Tiny.
Black hair, brown eyes. She is, happens to be black. Last seen wearing a white t-shirt and gray shorts.
Now, this is important. Authorities say that GMC Acadia, which should have four children and the mom in it, may be traveling with an exhaust pipe that is hanging down too low, like almost dragging the ground, a cracked windshield, and a dent in the rear hatch below the handle.
Oh, yeah. You can see that. Yep.
Anyone with information on their whereabouts is asked to call 911 immediately. And we will update that story probably at the top of the bottom of the hour until we have more information and hopefully can share with you the safe return of those children.
Man, I wonder what she said to the dad. That would make them think. Why would
my guess is it was a threat of harm. Without getting into it,
yeah.
a specific threat of harm. The way that this is worded, that leads me to believe that that's what we're dealing with here.
Update here on the story of Michael Tisius. You may recall we talked about his case last week. He is the man who is on Missouri's death row.
Yep.
And there was a stay of execution because apparently one of the jurors was illiterate. And that created a huge conversation, I think it was last Monday on the program.
You have to have a juror and a jury of your peers that is qualified under Missouri law. A qualified jury of your peers being unable to read or write is not a qualified juror. So what one judge said, we're going to stay the execution. Then a higher court a couple days later said, no, we don't care. The guy couldn't read or write or look at, you know, any of the statements or any of the evidence presented. We're going to start the execution back up again.
And he is scheduled now. Michael Tisius is scheduled to be executed tomorrow in Missouri. In an unusual step, six of the 12 jurors, including two alternates, have said in a sworn affidavit included in a clemency petition that they would be supportive or would not object if the governor of Missouri stepped in to commute the sentence to life imprisonment rather than death. It is rare, say experts, to see so many jurors formally take such a stand in a death penalty case. Another juror, when contacted recently by legal representatives for Mr. Tisius, told them that he could not read in English, which is a requirement in Missouri courts for jury service. A federal judge ordered last week that the execution be halted while the claim of illiteracy was investigated. But on Friday, an appeals court, as you mentioned, Dana, overruled that decision. In a 56-page petition sent to Governor Mike Parson, jurors recounted in statements obtained from Mr. Tisius's defense team why they have changed their thinking since the sentencing 13 years ago.
All right.
They're still convinced of his guilt.
Jurors change their minds all the time. And they ask you at the beginning of a capital murder trial, would you be able to sentence someone to death? If it comes to that, would you be able to do it? And all of these jurors that served on this jury raised their hand and said, yes. Okay? This is further down in the New York Times story. There is no legal recourse for jurors who have a change of heart or mind about a death sentence. Two of the jurors told the New York Times they have been haunted by their experience on that jury. One woman who served as an alternate says she has suffered from anxiety, sleeplessness, and guilt.
She was an alternate.
If she had been allowed to vote, she would not have chosen death.
But she didn't get to vote. Why is she suffering from anxiety?
You still sat through it, Scott, and she knows that clock is ticking and they're going to try to kill him tomorrow night.
But she didn't vote for death.
Another juror, Jason Smith of Republic, Missouri, said that in the 13 years since the sentencing, his views on Mr. Tisius, who is now 42, have changed.
Tough.
Yeah, just because you regret the way you voted before doesn't mean that you can go back and change it now.
I regret who I voted for president a couple of times.
Yeah.
I don't get to go back and change it.
The juror says he still supports the death penalty in certain cases and says Mr. Tisius should not ever get out. He should spend the rest of his life in prison, but no longer believes he deserves to die. Quoting here from the juror, I feel angry and remorseful. I feel that I have wronged Michael.
Wow. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. Michael Tisius is scheduled to die tomorrow. I believe it's 6 o'clock Kansas City time in Missouri. He killed two guards at a jail in a botched escape attempt 20 years ago. He has been sentenced to die, but apparently one of the jurors, we've now learned, was unable to understand the English language, couldn't read or write it. But yet he is scheduled to die tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So he is scheduled to be executed tomorrow. We believe it's 6 o'clock. Michael Tisius. And this is a week later than he was originally supposed to be executed. It was supposed to be last Tuesday. But a judge delayed that because it turns out one of the jurors in his case, by the way, he killed two jail guards in a botched jail escape 20 years ago. Turns out one of the jurors did not read or understand English. And that juror voted guilty and voted to execute him.
Now, in an almost unheard-of move, I think six of those jurors have petitioned and signed affidavits saying, we don't now want this man to die. I want to read the first sentence out of the New York Times article so we are not forgetting the victims in this case.
Amen.
It says, the murders were so brazen, so brutal, they stunned the people of Missouri. It was just after midnight, June 22nd, 2000, Michael Tisius and Tracy Burlington entered a county jail intent on forcibly freeing an imprisoned friend. 19-year-old Tisius was carrying the gun, shot and killed the two guards during the attempt, and then fled. The families of the victims are vehemently against changing this sentence from death to life.
Yeah, the story that I read went into more detail about how the crime went down.
Horrible.
And I can't imagine anybody going back on how they voted.
Let's go to Paul in Liberty. Paul, good afternoon. Hi.
Hi there. My question is, what recourse do we have on the judge that created this situation 20 years ago? It would have nipped this in the bud, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation today.
Well, we got some details on this last week, Paul, that a court employee, an unnamed court employee, helped the juror fill out the questionnaire that could not read, write, or understand English.
And we don't know how that went down.
We don't know how that went down. So the judge in the case would not have known there was an illiterate juror in right. that box. Neither did the defense or the prosecution. And we asked Sean O'Brien about this, professor over at UMKC, law professor, who said, you know, you can't ask all questions all day of all the jurors. You'd be there for four right. years just asking questions. He said there's, you know, that juror questionnaire is supposed to catch those who are unable to serve. And in this case, clearly it did not.
And one thing that we talked about last week, and it bears repeating, is that people who are illiterate are often embarrassed and create ways to mask, if you will, their illiteracy. So and I'm just spitballing here. We don't know how this went down, but it is possible that this juror went to this court employee and said, hey, I didn't bring my glasses and I can't read this questionnaire.
Can you help me?
Can you help me fill it out? And, oh, yeah, sure, of course.
We don't know. Yeah. I think one of the most interesting questions about this case is, could you really sit in judgment of another human being and really level that sentence? And I have always said I do believe in a handful of circumstances, and it's a narrow set of circumstances that I could do it. Think child kidnapping, rape, and murder. I could do it.
Pamela Butler.
Pamela Butler, Keith Nelson, mm-hmm. You're going straight to hell, and I don't mind voting for it. I have a problem with the uneven way with which we see the death penalty swing in the United States. I think we need to tighten it up. If we're going to do it, it truly has to be. And not this crime. I'm not saying this crime wasn't horrible, but it has to be the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst.
Would this qualify for you? He killed two jail guards. There's no dispute.
Scott, I don't know. I think for me personally,
I could do it. And it, I would
it,
for
it
this
case. It has to be, it almost, I think, has to be a child victim for me to be comfortable leveling that sentence.
What about a John Robinson?
Or serial killer or mass shooter. Then I can do it.
But I mean, if it was a cop killer, could you do it? I mean, these are jail guards. I mean, it's just a step below.
I think I could.
Oh, I could.
If it was clear and convincing. But I guess my wider question is, everyone is going to say, oh, yeah, I could do it. These jurors are now saying they are mm-hmm. still haunted by the experience. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you see it in the movies and you think, oh, yeah, I could do that. Send him straight to the electric chair until it's you sitting in that box. Sure. And it would weigh on you that it is your vote that is sending a person to death. Now, it was their actions and their decision that
That's
led
right.
them
That's
there.
Right. 586-7798. 586-7798. Dave in Liberty. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Dana.
Hi.
I don't know if the inability to read or write bears on one's ability to comprehend the subject matter being presented.
Fair point.
I mean, there's no doubt that the guy did it. I think that's my main point on this. I mean, I'm totally blown away with the fact that he managed to get through the whole process and no one figured out that he couldn't read or write.
I know.
But I don't know if that necessarily disqualifies you and your ability to still understand what was going on. I mean, how many times have we heard in court proceedings of a juror that's asleep, not even paying attention,
right.
not taking notes? I mean, does that disqualify this guy? I mean, by most standards, yes, you would think so. But I don't think that it changes anything that was found during that trial, that the guy definitely did it. It was just a matter of, does he get life in prison or does he get the death penalty?
Dave, there's also a great article. Yeah, Dave, thank you. There's also a great article out there that I would urge you to read that dropped in the last month or so about some of the loopholes in the system that we use when we ask jurors, can you be fair and impartial? Can you read or write? And some of the glaring loopholes and problems in the way we do things. And this is the most infamous example. If you are called to be on a jury in a sex abuse trial, and you have never told anyone in your life that you were a childhood victim of sex abuse, and we know what those statistics look like, Scott. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You didn't even tell your mom and dad that this happened to you. Maybe it was a babysitter.
Right.
They will ask you in court, in front of a room full of strangers, is there anyone in this courtroom that has been a victim of this type of abuse? Raise your hand, because we're trying to send this guy away for molesting a child. Well, very few people are going to say, Oh my gosh, I've never shared this with anyone, not even my therapist.
But I'm going to share it here in public.
Yeah, but let me raise my hand and tell you I was molested by a babysitter at age 12. Never told anybody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't sit on this jury. There are circumstances under which people, I'm not saying they're lying,
they're just
but
not telling
are
the truth.
Not going to tell the truth, and you certainly understand in that case why you wouldn't.
Amanda in Clinton, Missouri. Amanda, good afternoon. Hi.
Hi. So something that I don't know if everybody realizes or not, but coming from working in a jail at one point in life, those guards were more than likely 99% sure that they were unarmed. Therefore, they had no way to defend themselves in that. And if it's caught in the act and you know that it happened, there should be no reason to rescind what your decision was.
Sure.
Well, I would make the argument that just because you've had 13 years to think about it doesn't change the decision that you made 13 years ago.
I did not realize until probably halfway through our tenure on this program that the guards in prisons are not armed.
Yeah.
I thought, what do you mean they're not armed? Well, they can't be armed because the threat of the inmate mm-hmm. overtaking a guard mm-hmm. to get their hands on that weapon is greater than the fear that someone is going to do something like we saw in this case. So she is right. The guards have like mace and a billy club.
If that.
Maybe a taser, yeah, but they do not have a weapon. We would be remiss if we did not update a couple of things. And I know you want to talk about the White House here in a minute, Scott.
I do.
We have an active Amber Alert nearby for Topeka children believed to be in imminent danger. And they are in a silver 2009, very identifiable mini SUV with a Kansas temporary plate. I'm going to read the last sentence because that's the important sentence. The tailpipe on this thing is believed to be either dragging or dangling. The windshield is cracked, and there is a dent under the back latch where you would open mm-hmm. the hatch.
Just for clarification, it's a mid-sized SUV, a GMC Acadia, picture like a Ford Explorer.
Yep, and it's four children. It is their mother that has taken them, and again, authorities believe those children to be, quote, in imminent danger. So please be on the lookout for that. You'll see it on the scout cameras as you're driving around.
Also, the Kansas City Chiefs are in Washington, D.C. They are at the White House this afternoon for a presentation from President Joe Biden. That is going to occur at roughly 3:30 this afternoon. The Super Bowl champions are always invited to the White House. The Chiefs obviously won the Super Bowl. They're headed to the White House. 3:30 this afternoon, and we will try to bring a portion of that to you live here on Dana and Parks.
I'll tell you this, they all clean up so nice.
Looking good.
Andy Reid's got a suit on.
What?
The Chiefs are at the White House. We will follow some of this live around 3:30 when the proclamation is given by the president. If you can get online today and look at some of the photos of the players, they look so sharp.
Good.
But how?
I mean, Sunday's best.
How awesome would it have been if Andy Reid wore a Hawaiian shirt and khaki pants to the White House?
I don't know that I've ever seen him in a suit and tie.
With a burger?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Norma Hunt died.
I saw that. Did you see that over the weekend?
Yeah, she died over the weekend. The wife of Lamar Hunt, widow of Lamar Hunt, died over the weekend. Let's see here. How old was she?
84 years old.
84, okay. So God bless her. Did you hear about the train crash in India?
Again?
Oh, my God. At least 288 people have been killed. More than 850 others injured in a train accident involving three trains in eastern India. The death toll is expected to rise as more people are feared trapped inside the mangled train cars. Rescuers were cutting through iron compartments using sniffer dogs in a search for survivors and bodies. More than 200 ambulances were called in. The surge of dazed and bleeding victims overwhelmed local hospitals, which were not used to such a large influx of high trauma patients.
They're saying this might have been a signaling failure.
I'll say.
Still trying to figure out what caused it, but it is one of the worst rail disasters in that country's history.
Chuck Todd announcing yesterday that he is leaving Meet the Press after nearly a decade of moderating the NBC political panel show, to be replaced in the coming months by Kristen Welker. Chuck Todd, 51, told viewers, quote, "I've watched too many friends and family let work consume them before it was too late." And he said that he had promised his family that he would not do that. Todd has often been an online punching bag for critics, including the previous president during a polarized time. And there were rumors that his time at the show would be short when its executive producer was reassigned at the end of last summer. I like him.
Yeah.
I think he's very good.
Yeah.
Welker has been at NBC News since 2011 and has been Todd's fill-in for the past 3 years. She drew praise for moderating the final presidential debate between Trump and Joe Biden in 2020.
Lenexa woman who lost hope of finding her
beg your pardon?
Pet tortoise after 9 months has an update for our listeners.
Oh.
Jan Langton took to social media when her beloved tortoise escaped from her backyard in the Falcon Ridge area.
Yeah, you can't really say it ran away.
She went missing on August 5th. Said Langston of her 2-pound tortoise, who had the run of the backyard, but managed to burrow out between a fence post and the corner of the house and escape. She can scramble lickety-split.
Okay. All right.
Her name, by the way, is Frederica, after my childhood tortoise.
What?
She posted notices and photos on Facebook, Nextdoor, and the HOA website, and I remember seeing it. She was offering a $400 reward for the 17-year-old tortoise. Frederica brings me joy, mostly because I rescued her from a situation where I didn't know that they were taking care of her. She's a friendly little thing. I've learned so much. You can pet her head, you can pet her paws, all sorts of things.
How long do they live?
Days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months. She started losing hope about ever seeing Frederica again. And then on Saturday, 9 months and 15 days after Frederica disappeared, Langton got a call from a family who lived in the neighborhood, and they told her their son, Henry Miles, had found a turtle.
A turtle or a tortoise?
It was Frederica.
I was going to say, there's a big difference. By the way, a tortoise can live from 80 to 150 years old.
Wow.
Frederica was easy to spot because she has an injured eye like a pirate, and one of her eyes is usually closed.
Oh, so it's Frederica.
She's
Frederica
winking at you. And by the way, the little boy who found Frederica got the $400 reward.
How did it live through the winter?
Scott, I don't know. My guess is she brings her inside. I don't know.
Does it poop?
I think everybody poops, Scott. There's a book by the same title.
Everybody does poop, Dana. That is correct.
Who brought her inside while she was missing?
How do you lift it?
With your hands.
Do I look like Jack Hanna, Scott?
No.
I got nothing here. I'm just happy that Frederica is home.
How did Frederica lose her eye? And why are you making that face with your eye closed? What does one do with a tortoise?
I don't know.
Do you pet it?
Scott, I don't know.
You feed it vegetables?
Well, Frederica was malnourished and dehydrated when she went for a checkup at the vet. But is now fine.
A checkup at the vet.
What vet services tortoise eye?
I don't know.
Tortoise vets.
She is talking about putting a GPS tracker on Frederica's back.
Just tape an Apple AirTag to her.
Look at her go, slowly.
Look at her go! Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that in 1 minute.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.